Okay, it's 4:01. We'll bring this meeting of the Meridian Development Corporation Board of Commissioners to order. This is August 23rd. Roll call. Commissioner Whitmer.
Here.
Commissioner Mueller.
Here.
Commissioner Byrd.
Here.
Commissioner McCarvel.
Here.
Commissioner Ritter.
Here.
Commissioner Bevin.
Here.
Commissioner Vlasic.
Here.
Counsel Lake.
Here.
Administrator Squires.
Here.
We confirm the agenda.
Mr. Chairman. I move that we approve or confirm the agenda as published.
Just a clarification, Mr. Chairman, it's an amended agenda.
Sorry, the amended agenda that Counsel Lake has now written.
I'm on the rest.
Do we have a second to the amended agenda? Commissioner Mueller, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have the consent agenda, including the approval of minutes of the August 9th regular meeting and the July financials and notice of bills paid.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Whitmer.
I move that we approve the consent agenda, including the minutes from the August 9th, 2017 regular meeting and then the July 2017 financials and notices of bills paid.
Second. Is that Commissioner McCarvel? Second. Any discussion? Hearing done, we'll take a roll call vote. Commissioner Whitmer.
Aye.
Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarvel.
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin.
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
And Chairperson's an aye as well. And our first action item, presentation of the Nine Mile Floodplain Appeals Submittal by Forsgren. Ashley, would you like to introduce?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as you all know, we, as a week ago Monday, we submitted our formal appeal to FEMA for the Nine Mile Floodplain. Gary Ashby is here from Forsgren Associates, who is our engineer, who has been assisting us with this project for several years now. I asked him to come before this board because there's been a lot of questions as to what this project is and the impacts, and I thought it might be a really good refresher course for those who have been on the board and maybe give the newer board members a chance to be able to ask some questions. Gary, thank you for being here. I would invite you to...
You bet. You bet. Appreciate that. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. So Ashley asked me to just kind of give a background and kind of what we've been up to and kind of some of the things that led to the decision to submit the appeal and kind of the results of that and what we're finding out. Maybe just really quick, a little bit of background. FEMA had an initial floodplain map that was out, and I believe that was 2003 was the date of that original floodplain map. And Meridian Development Corporation, we went ahead and did a study on the impact in that Nine Mile Creek area, essentially just right over into here that passes through, what kind of infrastructure would need to be built to reduce the impacts of that flooding in that area. So that was completed and then done, but then just recently it was issued in 2016. It is a revised map. FEMA went back through and redid their calculations and whatnot to revise that map. So we did we revisited that and took the opportunity to investigate what the impacts would be with that revised map. And so this figure that you have, the 8.5 by 11, I'll go to that. You'll see if you go off the page, well, you can see the parking lot for City Hall right up there. This is Meridian Road right up there onto the top right, just get you oriented a little bit about where this map is at. The blue area is kind of what the current flood area is. As we went back through and looked at their study, this is FEMA's their preliminary September 23rd, 2016, their preliminary study. The flood flows that they have in this area right here are about 145 cubic feet per second. There's almost no indication or no data to suggest that is actual, that we've ever foreseen any kind of flows like that in that range. So we went through and we took that number, and this map kind of shows a list, a summary of the improvements that we would make in that area. You can kind of see in the table here to the top right, we've got a kind of a length and then a description of you know, a piece of infrastructure, either culverts or widening of an open channel to essentially be able to accommodate that flow. One of the reasons to redo this and revisit also is because of the recent improvements on Meridian Road that were not included in the original assessment of what that flooding would do. As we went through this and looked at that, it was a pretty substantial cost. It was, depending on what we ultimately decide, you know, you would ultimately decide to do there, anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million worth of improvements through that area. A lot of it had to do with getting underneath the railroad with those kinds of flows. So that figure you can kind of see, that's what we come up with as we revisited that. We figured at that point that it probably really made some sense to kind of back up. And as we looked into this report and some of the work that FEMA had done, it really looked like they had, these studies, they really do a 30,000 foot level look at a lot of these drainages. And so we thought it really made some sense to potentially zero down and do a closer look at Nine Mile Creek at some of the specific infrastructure, some of the drainage patterns, with the intent that we could hopefully get that that flow volume, the 145 cubic feet per second, we hope we could get that lowered to something. We would appeal to FEMA to lower that flow number to something that would be a lot more manageable and significantly reduce the cost of those improvements. So that's what we did. You can take a look at this figure, just for reference. You got a copy of the, this is the FEMA flood, their panel, their flood area, that essentially starts, this panel essentially starts right at the freeway and then kind of runs up through Nine Mile Creek and up through our specific study area that we're looking at. And this is where, if you look at the other figure here, that's where the blue area comes from, essentially from this panel. But what we figured is we were thinking there's probably some barriers to flow in that area that was eliminating the amount of flow that at least FEMA thought was contributing to that area. So what we did, now I'll pull out this one, this figure here. We went back, we spent a significant amount of time in the field with Napa Meridian Irrigation District and looked really closely at how flow gets into Nine Mile Creek and what actually the infrastructure is there. And we realized that the basin that had probably been assumed by FEMA was bigger than what actually happened. I'll just kind of walk through some of the key elements that kind of limit the flow here. The biggest one really is the Reidenbach Canal. It really is an effective barrier to anything south of that canal. Any drainage from there entering into that Nine Mile Creek vein drainage. In this figure, what we've kind of done is Nine Mile Creek kind of starts right up in here with Reidenbach Canal, the drainage basin for it. And we kind of, it's bounded on the west by the 8 Mile Canal, and it's bounded on the east by the Hunter Lateral. And so we kind of looked at those different areas, or those areas through there, looked at what potential drainage patterns. We looked back at the methods that FEMA had used to calculate those flows, and what they had done is they have regression equations that essentially look at what a peak discharge is for a storm. They look at the area for a basin, and it's kind of based on a lot on elevation. And once that they have all those parameters, they kind of have a regression equation with a bunch of data points, and that's how they calculated that flow. But what it doesn't account for, it essentially takes that square miles and then that contributes to the drainage area. It doesn't account for any type of catchment within that area. Whereas we know with ACHD, the standards for development require that a lot of those stormwater flows be contained on site. So there was no accounting for that in what FEMA had done. And so we went back and kind of verified how those flows were getting in. You look at these different areas where we picked different acres where we could identify that there was stormwater catchments or detention basins that captured runoff from a parking lot or you know whatever else. So and we also included in a lot of the subdivisions in the areas, we went back and kind of verified plats to make sure that it was actually constructed. But wherever there's an ACHD right of way, that's one of their requirements also is that water gets contained and captured. So we were able to we essentially used their methods, FEMA's methods, but then went back and did a lot more detailed assessment of the actual contributing area that would contribute drainage to the Nine Mile Creek and actually get into the channel. And with that, we were able to back off that area, and then essentially we were able to reduce. And this is kind of the summary of our appeal. But in table, the very last table on the last sheet, we have different segments that we broke up the basin in. And then within those different segments, you can see over there on the far right is what the ultimate contributing flow, cubic feet per second. And down at the segment E, which is the very end, which is right above our study area, the area right across the street here, we ended up with about 78 cubic feet per second rather than the 145 by pulling out those areas. So we feel that it was pretty by utilizing the methods their methods, but then doing just a much more detailed assessment of how water actually gets in there, what are potential barriers to that water. For instance, Victory Road, there's an area south of Victory Road that if you was to just consider that area, it would be a significant contribution to drainage. But there's the only way for that water to get across there is through a 12-inch culvert. And with assessed the capacity of that culvert, CFS. But if you were to capture that full drainage area, it was about 25 CFS. So looking at some of those kind of specifics to be able to arrive and identify that number. So that by using their methods, we felt we didn't want to get into them about an argument about how what their methods were and that their science wasn't correct. We knew that they hadn't done that detailed level of analysis on contributing area. So we kind of went to that and did that, and that's the basis and the basis of the appeal. So that's kind of what we've been up to. It's in their hands now. It's been submitted to them. We'll have to kind of wait and see. I wish I knew a timetable of when we would hear back from them of what those are, but we do know it's been received. I did get confirmation for that, and so it's in their hands. And I think at this point we see what their response is.
We may have some questions for you. I do have one. Has FEMA ever received a detailed appeal like this that you know of? Because it sounds like from your description, all they do is take a 30,000-foot topography overview and then make a decision, which is a very simplistic way of doing it, I would assume, as opposed to drilling down into all of this detail. Yeah. Do you know of any other appeal that's ever been made that's this detailed? Or are we the prototype for appealing?
Yeah, no, we're not the prototype. I think, there's two different things, maybe just a distinction. Since this report and the mapping is preliminary, you can make an appeal before it becomes final. And so if you go back and look at the references that they actually have in here, they are a lot of times communities and other people will make an appeal. You know, the level of detail probably varies pretty significantly. But yes, it has been done. One of the things that we wanted to do, we kind of rushed this to get to meet a deadline that they had to have it become an appeal. The other approach, of course, is to go back after it's been approved and do a letter of map revision, which is you know, a lot of that happens quite often. So I think the thing that's unique, potentially, that I'm not overly familiar, I haven't heard this happen a lot, is that rather than going after the mapping, the actual area the flood area that they show on their map, we targeted the flow. We felt that they can, if they will accept the flow value, that's the basis for the design of our improvements to the infrastructure. We want them to approve that. They can map it however they want. We didn't want to get into them about, well, this building stops it here, and that, you know, that could go on and on. So we decided to target the flow rather than the actual mapping area, the flooding area.
The determiner for the flood insurance.
Yeah. Well, the area, the flow determines what that area would be. So they would go back and with, if they accept this flow, then they would go back and remap that with the area. And they may do that, and that would probably still potentially show some flooding. Our calculations suggest that. But what we would be able to do is then go back and design infrastructure to fully contain that flow and essentially make that flooding area go away. But we want to do it at 80 CFS rather than 145 because the cost of the is substantial.
Are we asking them to revisit the entire map from back in the study of 2006? Or are we just appealing the new map? Are we asking them to actually look at the data and redesign the entire?
We would. Our appeal focuses on the new, on the updated. So it would be their. We would be asking them to revise before they finalize this preliminary to revise that map. But yeah, not going back. And
it can even be improved from the one that's been in place for a while.
I think the thing is if this 145 CF, we actually went back and were able to, using their methods, we were just able to see how they come up with that number. And it really was just, if you look at this study, they spent a lot of time on like Five Mile Creek and some other bigger major drainages. They spent some more time on that. They just didn't. They call it either a detailed study or a simplified method or whatever. And the first time they went through, that's what they did with Nine Mile Creek, is they did a simplified method, which, you know, from their perspective, they wanted to be as conservative as possible, and that's kind of where we ended up. So, but then us going back to revise, ask for that to be revised, is a revision of that 2016 preliminary map.
Mr. Chair, do you have the ability to map the floodplain at the lower flow rate just to see what it would look like?
Yeah, we can do that. That, well, the ability and then having the data that we would want to do. I mean, that takes, there is data available to do it. Typically, what they'll do to get those maps is they'll use available LIDAR data, and so that's aerial mapping and imagery that they use to then create elevations of roads and different areas. They can use that topography, the topographic data, to then determine how far that flood would go out. When you're getting really detailed about that, where you have lots of buildings and roads and other kind of drainages. In order to really map that accurately, it takes some additional survey effort, which we certainly could do that if that survey data, if we gathered that data, which
that's not in the scope of work.
It's not in the scope of this work.
Okay.
Again, the idea was that if you look at the flow chart of how FEMA will do that, if they accept the appeal, and if it affects what they call the base flood elevation, then they go back and remap it. And that allows us, you know, we felt it was better to let them go back and spend that effort to do that. Since we knew we wanted to create this infrastructure, that what is our ultimate goal is to take, you know, to remove the flooding altogether. That was kind of our focus and our goal. If we wanted to just reduce that flooding area, reduce the area that you see on the map, then after this is approved, you could go back and do a letter of map revision, and that's where they revise that map. And that's where you go into that survey effort and all that kind of thing.
Our portion of this floodplain is only a small portion compared to this whole floodplain area.
Mm-hmm.
Our little area is abutting against other entities who have a stake in this. Were they involved in this at all? Or are they aware of what we did?
We involved the Nampa Meridian Irrigation District. For Nine Mile Creek, we confirmed that this was FEMA concurs with the idea that Nine Mile Creek is bounded by 8 Mile Canal and the Hunter Lateral. So that's really for the boundaries of this study, it's within those two, those are the boundaries, which is within Meridian, and all of that is within Nampa Meridian Irrigation District. So and they were the ones that gave us, help us understand a lot more about, you know, their structures, how they operate, and where water flows and what happens. So
Nampa Meridian large their canals, would it mitigate the flood?
What it would do, Nine Mile Creek, if they enlarged, like, is the question, like, if they made 8 Mile Canal bigger?
You said they're both boundaries of the floodplain.
Yeah.
Sounds like water, you know, would go from there.
What they do, when I say bounded, what that means is if water is flowing from the west, it can't get past 9 Mile or 8 Mile Canal. If it gets into it, that will be an effective barrier to keep it from then flowing into the 9 Mile Basin. And the same thing with the Hunter Lateral. They could increase the size of the 9 Mile Channel. However, wherever it's an open channel, it does a pretty good job of containing even the flows that we calculate from the area that contributes to it. So, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, so are the improvements on this map that you've suggested based on the 145 or the 78?
They're based on the 145.
Okay, so if they approve this and it comes down to 178, then this somewhat changes what we see on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it essentially changes. The alignment won't really change. It'll be just the sizing. It's really about all the changes. So it makes it smaller. And again, the kicker is getting underneath that railroad, and then the size of the pipe that runs down along the railroad.
In some cases, do some of those improvements go completely away because what's already there is big enough?
I don't think so. The place where the one that comes close to doing that would be the open channel.
Yeah.
Those open channels, and they at the ADCFS, it still goes over that.
Yeah.
Some. But that's easy to do. That's easy to widen that channel 2 or 3 feet.
Yeah.
And that even that amount of increase in the size really increases the capacity of that.
But didn't our new culverts in the split corridor when it was constructed meet that increased flow?
It did. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the culverts that go underneath
Meridian
Road.
Yeah.
are okay.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, item six, our facade improvement grant request. Ashley, would you like to?
I will get started, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, the property committee reviewed a facade improvement grant request from Shannon Engel. Shannon is the new tenant in Murray's Electronics. She has applied for a $1,000 grant from MDC for facade improvement that primarily centers around paint. As I told the committee, I think we would like to see maybe a little bit more, and Shannon would certainly love to do more. Unfortunately, she is not able to get the property owner to sign off on more at this time. So, baby steps. So, she's going to continue working on trying to put together a little bit bigger vision and trying to get the property owner on board. But the property committee did review the application that is in your packet and did feel that it met the criteria. It did meet the minimum scoring for approval. The details that would be included in for the facade improvement grant would be the pressure washing of the entire building and the shingled awning, scraping and sanding any loose paint areas and prime the bare areas, remove the sign brackets and repair the existing holes, caulk and repair all cracks to the exterior, paint the full storefront in white paint, paint the window and door trim in black paint, and clean up and removal of painting-related debris. Council Lakey has put together a separate sipping agreement should the board feel that inclined to move forward on the property committee's recommendation. And I am happy to stand for any questions you may have, and there are members of the property committee that could answer questions as well.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, this is Resolution 17-036. It's a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency in Meridian, Idaho, approving the facade improvement application and corresponding recipient agreement attached as Exhibit A between the Meridian Development Corporation and Shannon Engel for use of MDC Facade Improvement Program grant funds, authorizing execution of the agreement by Chairman, Vice Chairman, and Secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the agreement, authorizing the Administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement, an effective date.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve Resolution 17-036 of the Facade Improvement Recipient Agreement.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Ritter. Any discussion? Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. Commissioner Winder?
Aye.
Commissioner Mueller?
Aye.
Commissioner Berg?
Aye.
Commissioner Mueller?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarver?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin?
Aye.
Commissioner Blasting?
Aye.
Well, this is a big step. We've been waiting 6 years for something like this. I know.
I'm very happy, Caleb.
I'm hoping that building can stand that.
Thank you.
The pressure wash might not go over.
The pressure wash.
Can we work off the part of that?
Yeah,
that's
part of the
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Winter was asked about the uniqueness of the name of the business. The business is an interior design type business. It's furniture and she does interior designing.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Shannon, it's kind of a multifaceted business. One, she restores furniture, so there will be that. She will also offer classes for furniture restoration within her business. She also does interior design services as well. So.
And she'll serve you coffee while you're waiting. Is that where the coffee comes
in? I assume.
So.
Sounds good.
It's nice to have somebody come down.
Okay,
yes.
Our next item is the sub-recipient agreement amendment number one, CDBG dollars.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as you know, we are working on the design of the sidewalk improvements for the areas that we have identified in downtown Meridian. Upon a recent site visit with city staff, our engineering firm, and Coal Valley Christian, we recognized that there is there was a little bit of a gap that was excluded from the scope of work. And so upon review of the subrecipient agreement and in discussions with Chris Pope, who is a CDBG administrator, we have decided to include that little missing segment on Carlton between East 2.5 Street and East 4th Street that was missing into the overall design. It will not incur additional costs, but we need to formalize it through this agreement. We will be the first signers. My understanding is it will be coming in front of City Council next Tuesday for approval. And Caleb's here if there's any further questions.
Okay.
Bless you.
Sure. Well, this, I mean, actually did a fine job of kind of explaining how, so we developed a map with 99 different segments of downtown sidewalks earlier this year, and just quite frankly, we got a little lazy, and we didn't go out and walk this area, and we should have probably sooner. Looking at it from the aerial, there's a sewer manhole there, and it's got some concrete sleeving around it, so when you look at it from the aerial, it looks like it's sidewalk, but it's not. There's about a 50-foot gap in the sidewalk, and so we missed it when we were putting all those segments together, and this really makes a lot of sense. It completes the gap and the thought process of why these segments to include this. So apologize that we even have to go through this exercise. We should have done a little bit more homework and identified it previously, but we're getting cleaned up.
No, it's great, and as you said, our first requirement was student safety, pedestrian safety. And so we don't want gaps.
Right.
So thank you. Any other questions or comments for Ashley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 17-037, the resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the Amendment 1 to the subrecipient agreement dated April 26, 2017, for receipt and use of CDBG funds for the design of certain sidewalk improvements between the Meridian Development Corporation and the City of Meridian. Authorize an execution of the amendment by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the amendment, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the amendment, and provide an effective date.
Thank you. Commissioner
Bailey. I move that we approve resolution number 17-037 as written by council.
Second by Commissioner Byrd. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Commissioner Winter.
Aye.
This goes hand in hand with the last time they were here presenting. Essentially,
it's the next step.
Yeah, we're ready to move on to the next step on getting the video scripting done. And this is just the corresponding resolution. So we've approved the work that we mentioned today.
No, and just to give the board an update, we are meeting, the PR committee is meeting with Davies Moore next Monday to work through the scripting. So we'll have something to bring back hopefully to the next board meeting. It may be two board meetings, just depending on the timing of everything. We've invited the mayor to participate if it works within her schedule as well, along with Casey Emery from the mayor's office and April, who's been engaged with the downtown businesses in the interviews, just so that we make sure that we have as well-rounded as a voice as possible in putting together the script.
And this is based on the really good discussion
yes.
we had with them at our last meeting.
Yes, so this is for that next step, which is in the amount of $4,650.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 17-038, the resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the 2017 Task Order 1 agreement for video preparation services on the professional services agreement between the Meridian Development Corporation and Marketing Media Group, DBA Davies Moore. Authorizing execution of the task order agreement by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the task order agreement, authorizing administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the task order agreement and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Motion.
Second.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Winter, move that we approve resolution number 17-038, as directed by council.
Second by Commissioner Mueller. Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote. Commissioner Winter.
Aye.
Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan.
Aye.
Commissioner Blassing.
Aye.
Chairperson's an aye as well. Thank you again. Thank you to the committee. Rob, Diane, Thomas, thank you so much. Okay, now discussion items. Can we start with 10 miles?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The big update is Ameriben, I believe, has opened its doors. And so we have several hundred new employees that are just a couple miles from downtown. One of the things that I'm doing, because the DBA is not in capability to do so at this time, is working with the local business owners to put together some marketing materials that we can take to Ameriben to promote downtown. And so what I'm finding, unfortunately, is most businesses don't have such materials. And so we're trying to figure out the best way to be able to convey what we do have in downtown so that way we can entice people to come visit us. And then I did have a conversation with John Wardle from Brighton Corporation. We have an outstanding modification to the owner participation agreement that we've been waiting on, knowing that there's a second modification that's needed because they're going to be submitting for a multifamily project. My understanding is that submittal is going to be coming to the city by the end of this month. So we decided we're just going to combine them all into one. There's no need to rush them through at this time because we're not doing reimbursements yet. So just to give a board update on that. That's all I have new to report. I will be getting a new monthly update in the next couple of weeks for the next board meeting.
I noticed the steel frame for the last building
is up. Oh, is it?
I'm also glad to hear about the marketing materials, Ashley, that you're working on to help spur NDBA forward because they're critically needed, not just for 10 Mile, but just for downtown. Distribute them at City Hall, the BRT building, some of the businesses around here that have employees that are, want to eat downtown.
Kicking and screaming, right. Kicking and screaming.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, property committee.
I don't think there's a ton of updates here. I think that the biggest one would just be saying that we had an interesting preliminary meeting with Union Pacific today that showed some signs of promise, but I don't. There's not a ton of details to jump in on that until we kind of continue to progress the conversation along. But it was just kind of nice to be able to get a representative from
ProBuild.
What am I trying to say? The guys right over here.
ProBuild.
Yeah, ProBuild as well as Union Pacific on the phone, and everybody was being nice and getting along. So we'll keep inching that one forward and keep you guys up to date on that discussion.
So it's so nice when you practice what you learned in kindergarten. Everyone learns to play nice together.
Baby steps.
It's good.
Yeah, baby steps.
And the good news with that is that, I don't know if Nathan purposely left this out or not, but we're going to have hopefully a face-to-face with Union Pacific and the ProBuild real estate folks in October. They're going to be on the ground with us. So this is a really big deal, really. So I think we're all very excited about this, and this is a huge first step, and everybody seems to be willing to come to the table and figure out how to make this a win-win-win for everybody.
You know, let's not take this lightly, folks. This is a big, big step. I think they deserve a round of applause. Really. Hey,
yeah.
Baby step. Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Everything is incremental. That's a step that's worthy of applause. Just getting them face to face. What is the first rule of marketing? You got to get them face to face first before you sell them. Right?
This is huge.
Right. Okay, here we go. Parking committee, Mr. Chair.
Can I ask, since I wasn't present at the meeting, was there any update on Badner, the saddle shop property?
Oh, at the property committee meeting?
They were listed in.
We were just giving updates as to what we knew at that time. So for McFadden, it was supposed to go on the market a couple of weeks ago. In conversations with the broker, the daughter who is working on coming up with a price has not come up with a final price yet, so it has not come out yet. Scott Nicholson has promised to send that to me as soon as it's available. The saddle shop came up as a point of conversation because there was someone who noticed there was some work happening indoors, but no one's aware of exactly what's happening.
See, I can give you a note on that. So I did some digging this week trying to get to the bottom of what's going on there. So my understanding is essentially somebody started to do some improvements on it and then realized, hopeless, and as far as I understand right now, it's basically they want to offload it. The question will be what price, right? Because they've already figured out that there's at least one full wall there that's not stable. So it's available.
Sorry,
David. No, you're fine.
Thank you.
Any other comments by the Parking Committee? Okay, going on to the Parking Committee. The report is second to last page in our packet, but there are two things that I really did want to emphasize. One is the VRT update that David from VRT gave, and that's the projection of the ridership in the Harvest Transit program, where they're projecting over 500 for the month of August, 500 riders. And that's continuing to rise, which is positive. It isn't flattening, it's rising. So that's very, very positive. And we want to try and start getting, in terms of this marketing of downtown, get our businesses downtown to utilize that service to reach out to some of these retirement communities to bring people downtown to come to restaurants, come shopping, or do whatever they need to do. But it's an outreach effort. So that was very positive. And the second one was based on discussion we had at the board of the need to update our parking map. Mm-hmm. And that was discussed in detail. And
can I add? So one of the things that I've been wanting to do is to figure out how to better communicate the parking map to our downtown businesses, because I just continue to hear no one knows where parking is. And despite this map being available in so many different venues, us sharing it, the signage that we've invested in, I still kind of beat my head against the wall. And one of the things that I have found to be really helpful in downtown Boise when I go downtown and need to find parking is that they have a map or an app called Park Mobile. Now, I don't envision this going anywhere to that level of detail. However, in speaking with Josh Everett, who developed the historical walking tour app that is available, he is willing to take our parking map and overlay it, which he's really excited about because he thinks it will drive more users to his app, but it will also allow for parking. So it's another way that we can be able to help tell our story as to what parking is available in downtown. So it's a next step, and we'll see how that goes.
Mr. Chair, is that something that
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That is. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's already been uploaded on the website. Now it's just taking it to that next level.
Do we have the folders that
we do. We do. Yes.
What did we learn from this? It's a continuing education process.
It is. Need to continue telling them.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Councilman
Mr. Chairman, nothing specific to report. Do you have any particular requests to talk a little bit about the Compass PRT potentially talking about the parking thing? I guess Commissioner Ritter and I can connect and kind of see what your questions are, and happy to go over it. And if we need to talk about it more at the board meeting,
I do not. Thank you so much.
And the only thing I have is we got a very nice thank you note from one of our former profound thanks for the lovely frame historic downtown replica sign. As you know, her family business is one of the replica signs showcasing the Zamzo family mill. I was elated to receive it and immediately hung it at my office. I can honestly say that I miss seeing your faces along with being involved with the exciting things happening in this great city. It is my hope that things will settle down a bit in the near future so I can again contribute to committees. In the meantime, know that I am grateful for your ongoing efforts and am thinking about each of you as you constantly strive to make Meridian better. Sincerely, Kelly Zamzo. She is a lovely person. Okay, I have nothing else. Is there any public comment? You're now our public. Second, all in favor?
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay.